Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie George, John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football today. We're looking back at a Packers win this past Sunday over the Detroit Lions. We'll be looking forward to a game this upcoming Sunday against the New York Giants. To do that, we have our weekly Wednesday guest. We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us this morning. Nathan, first of all, I have to ask you, how does it feel to have the distinction of being the guest on our 200th episode of Railbird Central?
I'm very happy to be the 200th guest. Congratulations on having 200 shows. I'm glad to say that I've been on about 15 of them. So.
Well, we're glad to have you. Without a doubt, you are the guest who has been with us the most on this show. So thank you. But let's get right to it. This past Sunday, there was a lot of good things to talk about with the Green Bay Packers in a victory. But probably the thing that got the most attention and the thing I'm going to ask you right off the bat is the performance of kicker Mason Crosby, who I think has made only 6 out of his last 13 field goals.
Yeah, that's not something you want to see, missing 6 of his last 13. But to be fair, 4 of those 6 kicks have been from 50 yards or more, so those are clearly the most difficult kicks to make. I don't think that the Packers should be giving up on Crosby, and one of the biggest reasons for that is he is still one of the better kickers in the league when it comes to kickoffs. Only 46.2% of his kicks have been returned, and kickers are a lot more consistent when it comes to kickoffs than field goals. So I think the sample size on his field goals is too small for the Packers to give up on him completely, and they're not going to find someone who is as good at kickoffs as Crosby at this point of the season. So I would say stick with Crosby. I think he can get his confidence back, and hopefully by the time the playoffs come around, he's hitting his kicks again.
A good performance now on the offensive side of the football from this past Sunday. JerMichael Finley, the tight end, had maybe his best game of the season. I know he had a pretty good one. I think it was the season opener, but still, you know, he has the 40-yard catch. He has the touchdown. What'd you think about JerMichael Finley's performance this past Sunday?
Yeah, it was definitely the best game he's had in a while. It was mostly off of the two big plays where both of them were against Steven Tulloch, who has been having a bit of a down year. So it's definitely reason for a little bit of optimism that he had 3 catches for the first time since week 5, and he didn't have any drops. But since it was only really 2 great plays that he had, I wouldn't find too much optimism out of the play in this game.
2 offensive linemen started for the first time in new positions this past week. TJ Lang kicked out to right tackle to replace Brian Bulaga, and Evan Dietrich Smith then replaced TJ Lang at left guard. How did you think they played? Because to me, it looked at times, at least, that they were struggling.
Oh, yeah, neither player had that great of a game, especially in pass protection. Even Dietrich Smith allowed a sack, a hit, and 2 hurries, which I think part of that was Nick Farley was having a really great game. He was also playing well on the other side on the left side of the defensive line as well. And then Dietrich Smith also, especially late in the game, had 2 plays where he really wasn't doing well in run blocking. But throughout the game, he was playing fairly decent run blocking, which averaged out to a better-than-average game in the run game. And similarly, TJ Lang at right tackle allowed a sack, a hit, and a hurry, and was also caught on a holding penalty, but also had a decent game run blocking. So they were not great games. The Packers definitely have seen worse games out of their offensive linemen, but they certainly weren't good games either.
Speaking of run blocking, the Packers' run game we're getting to now, kind of interesting, I thought. James Starks got a lot of the carries, well, all the carries for running backs, at least among players whose primary position is running back, this past Sunday against the Lions, and Alex Green not getting a single one after he was the you know, the featured back earlier in the season. What did you think about the performance of the running backs and perhaps the distribution of the carries?
I was also a little surprised to see Starks getting so much carries. He only averaged 3 yards per carry in this game, which wasn't great. But according to our PFF grades, he graded out above average because he had a lot of plays where he had a lot of nice cuts and bursts. The three offensive linemen that were playing their typical positions all had really bad run blocking games, so the line wasn't giving him much help. And it was especially early that Starks was doing well, so I think the Packers saw that Starks had the hot hand and kept running with him rather than Green. So in the future, I would expect Green to get a few more of the carries. But whoever is running the best that day, I'm guessing, will get the most carries. And I think a small part of it as well was I don't think Kuhn is back to 100% yet because Starks was in for 17 pass plays where Kuhn was just in for one, where we typically see Kuhn playing a lot more in pass protection. So I could see once Kuhn is healthy, Starks will get less snaps, and that'll also lead to a few less carries.
Yeah, I'm there with you as well. If you got to be a real geek to notice this, but John Kuhn wasn't playing his usual fullback on punt protection either on special teams, so he must be a little bit more injured than the Packers, or at least he's not one back to 100% yet. But we've talked a lot about offense here. Let's talk about the defensive side of the football. There's some pretty good young defensive backs on the Packers, you know, who are playing in the absence of Charles Woodson and Sam Shields and guys like Casey Hayward, Jerron McMillan, Devon House, and you know, MD Jennings, you name it. They're all playing pretty well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I feel like I've said this 4 or 5 times on the show already, but this was Casey Hayward's best game so far. He was thrown at 7 times and allowed just 1 catch for 6 yards and then had an interception and 3 passes defended. So you have a really good game at cornerback if you have just as many catches allowed as you have those kind of big plays. But Hayward has 4 times as many big plays as he had catches allowed, and it was just a 6-yard catch. Similarly, Devon House had his best game so far. He was thrown at 5 times and allowed just 1 catch for 8 yards and a pass defended. So those two cornerbacks really stole the show on defense in this game. So I think the Packers will have a really hard decision to make once Charles Woodson and Sam Shields are back and healthy, because Hayward's been playing so well that he deserves to play every down, and House as well has earned some playing time.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I hope we can keep up the streak of saying Devon House had his best game ever. Hopefully we can say that a few more times from a Packers fan perspective. I got a question here from my buddy Adam Check on Twitter, Nathan, and you know, I don't know how much you're going to be able to answer this off the top of your head without maybe perhaps looking at some statistics, but he thought ProFootballFocus.com has been a little critical of linebacker Eric Walden, who I know Adam thinks has played pretty well this year, and I would certainly agree at times at least. How do you think Walden has played this year, and do you think that maybe is he overrated perhaps, or what? Maybe what would be the reason for a negative grade for Eric Walden this season?
Sure, I would say that Walden has definitely been overrated in the fan base, and this past game against the Lions is actually a really good example of why he might be overrated, because he was credited with 2 sacks in that game, but both of those sacks were plays where there was pressure on the quarterback from somewhere else, and then the quarterback was basically rushed into Walden. So even though the offensive lineman blocking Walden was doing his job, Walden just got lucky in that the quarterback was right there for Walden to get to. So over the course of the season, he's just had 3 sacks, 9 hits, and 6 hurries, which is not good at all compared to other 3-4 outside linebackers this year. He has consistently, game after game, over the past 5 or so games, graded out negatively because of how unfrequently he gets pressure. However, in run defense, he is an above-average run defender for a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Fair enough. Very good. The Packers take on the New York Giants this upcoming Sunday. Can you give us a little bit of a preview and perhaps what we should be expecting to see from the Giants, or who we should expect to see and who the Packers might have to game plan for?
Sure. The Giants are doing exactly what they've come to we've come to expect of the Giants over these past couple of years, and that's they typically have a little bit of a slump this late in the season, right around November, and this is no different. Eli Manning was playing at a Pro Bowl level for most of the year, and then these past two games his play has just dropped off. So we can expect him to maybe not have his best game. Also, on the defensive side of the ball, their defensive line is not getting nearly as much pass rush as we're used to seeing out of them, which typically they'll play a lot better once the playoffs come around. But we'll see if they can step it up against the Packers' offensive line, which they have in the past. I think the biggest reason the Packers fans should be optimistic about this game is because both Corey Webster and their slot cornerback Jerron Housley have consistently not played well in this secondary. So I could see some of the Packers' receivers having big games, especially Randall Cobb, who should be going up against the rookie Jerron Housley on most plays and should be able to get the best out of Housley.
Very good. Well, Nathan, once again, thanks for joining us here this morning on Railbird Central, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week after the Giants game.
Yep, thanks for having me, and again, congratulations on 200 shows.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thank you, Nathan Yonke, for joining us, and thanks to all of you for listening to us for 200 episodes. So fantastic. Yes, our 200th episode here at Railbird Central. It's quite a milestone. I'm humbled. I'm glad all of you would think to tune in to the show here at CheeseheadTV.com to listen to me ramble on about the Packers. I'm honored. And I'm glad we could do it every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV. I want to give, as in honor of the 200th episodes, I want to give away a couple prizes today. I got two books to give away of It's Just a Game. And, of course, we talked about that on the show earlier this year when the book was released during May. There's a whole chapter on Bill Short, who was the Packers kicking consultant under Vince Lombardi, and he actually nowadays is a baseball umpire in Wisconsin, which is why he's in It's Just a Game. But I want to give away a couple copies of this book, and I got a little trivia here, and if I could here, the first person to correctly answer this question on the live blog will win a copy of the book. And the question is here, in honor of the Packers playing the Giants this weekend, this upcoming weekend, this upcoming Sunday, I have a question here relating to the Giants and the Packers here. Which member of the Packers coaching staff played for the New York Giants in the past decade? Which assistant coach of the Green Bay Packers was a player on the New York Giants in the past decade? First person to put that up on the live blog will win a copy of It's Just a Game. We've got a couple guesses coming in. Perry, no. Van Pelt, no. I tried to make this one purposely a little bit tough to get people guessing it. We have a winner. EC Wiscott on the live blog says Chad Morton. That is correct. The assistant special teams coach of the Green Bay Packers was formerly a player with the New York Giants, and I believe it was like 2005, 2006, not that long ago. So he's a young guy. So he's going to be taking on his former team here. We'll chat on Twitter there, EC Wiscott, and I'll get you your book in the mail here. And everybody stay tuned. At the end of the episode, you got to stick with me to the end, but we're going to have one more giveaway, one more trivia question here. And it has to do, again, a connection between the Packers and the Giants. So if you want to study up in the meantime here, so stick with me here. But let's talk a little bit about this game here today. And talk about the Packers in general. You know, the big news I'm kind of putting together this morning's Packers Daily Links as we're kind of it's sitting in unfinished form right now at Cheesehead TV as I'm working through it. And, you know, some of the stories coming out of yesterday having to do with quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Of course, he had his weekly radio show on the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee yesterday. Took on a whole bunch of topics. I think one of the major ones he talked about was the firing of his college coach, Jeff Tedford, at the University of California, who was just fired yesterday at Cal, or was it 2 days ago now? I forget. But regardless, you know, just recently happening, and Aaron Rodgers being very outspoken on the topic, calling it, I think, both terrible and even disrespectful that Cal would fire Jeff Tedford. I think Cal has had a record of like 3-9 this season, so obviously not a very good year, but kind of controversial. He's a guy that's been there, Tedford, that's been at Cal for quite a while, really kind of, you know, turning that program around from where it was at one point. And he's made them relevant, you know, back in the years of when Aaron Rodgers was a player there. Cal was really good there and, you know, was even, you know, like contender for major bowl games. But the past few years here, you know, I think Cal qualified for a bowl game last year, but it wasn't anything too special. And then this year, that not qualifying for a bowl at all. So big news, Aaron Rodgers not happy about it, but Aaron Rodgers talking about several topics yesterday, and one of them he talked about was the Packers tight end JerMichael Finley. And there was a story yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that garnered a lot of attention because it just was a lightning rod for commentary and criticism yesterday for multiple reasons. And so Rob Reichel of the Packer Plus publication that's put out by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it can also be seen at jsonline.com, writes an article on JerMichael Finley. And of course, this is, you know, as we talked about with Nathan Yonke, JerMichael Finley coming off a good performance this past Sunday against the Detroit Lions. You know, did a good job. He only had 3 catches, as Nathan Yonke noted, which, you know, is not a ton by any means. But regardless, he made the most of his catches, you know, and had that big 40-yard catch in the fourth quarter, of course, as the Packers were driving to win the game when they were behind. So that was huge. Broke some tackles. So, I mean, no way, any way you cut it, JerMichael Finley had a good game this past Sunday. And now, in what, you know, is coming out in this week's Packer Plus publication, JerMichael Finley basically once again questioning the chemistry between him and Aaron Rodgers. And JerMichael Finley, and I don't have the article in front of me at the moment here, but he said something like, we got to, him and I should go out for drinks sometime and just have it all out, because Aaron Rodgers hasn't been targeting him this season, as JerMichael Finley acknowledges. And, you know, whether that's construed as a criticism of Rodgers that he's not targeting him, you could read into that, I could see. But again, I mean, this is basically the same thing JerMichael Finley said earlier in the season when he was questioning the chemistry between him and Aaron Rodgers, and that they need to do something about it. And, it, you know, still happening weeks later. The interesting thing is, of course, is that this interview occurred before Sunday's game. You know, back when the media had access to the players. So all this information was gathered, you know, the direct quotations used in this article, probably, you know, last week. I think they even say it was Thursday of last week when the interview happened. And thus, JerMichael Finley ends up having a good game this past Sunday. And I believe after the game, Jermichael Finley, he actually said how, like, him and Rodgers got together on Saturday night before the game, and they went over in detail, especially about the play that resulted in the touchdown, which was a fantastic play call, for one, by Mike McCarthy, or even Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he audibled it for it at the line. Regardless, fantastic play call in which the Packers basically, you know, set up a screenplay to the right side of the field and then drag the tight end to the left side. So all the defenders flowed toward the screen, gearing up for that, getting ready to take on the offensive linemen that were going to, you know, be in front of a running back on a little pass out to the flat. And then, you know, like I said, Jermichael Finley drags across to the left side and basically wide open and takes it in for a touchdown. So Jermichael Finley says, you know, they spent a lot of time on Saturday night talking about that, him and Rodgers, and, you know, getting together before a game and, you know, basically working perhaps on that chemistry, or, you know, just talking football, talking how they can beat the Lions and execute good plays. So a little bit contradictory there. So, you know, interesting. Jamie on our live blog says, that dynamic should have been there all season. And of course, that's the criticism of Jermichael Finley, just that he has basically not had all that good of a season. His good games have been few and far between. He's been a non-existent part of the offense, you know, with the exception of, you know, a couple games here. And even when they do throw him the ball, he's dropped a large percentage of them, at least in comparison to other tight ends in the NFL. You know, I think at one point he was, you know, wasn't he up near the top of the league in drop passes, something like that. But so, yeah, and you know, in the whole thing that this whole chemistry issue with Aaron Rodgers is just continuing weeks and, you know, what is it, even months after, you know, it originally surfaced earlier this season. And Finley even talked about that during the offseason as well. So, you know, my opinion is basically, if you're a fan, you've got to ignore Jermichael Finley when he talks about these type of things. I think he's lost a lot of credibility in his interviews with the media. I mean, certainly he can say some good things too, like when he enlightened the media about how him and Aaron Rodgers had studied that play and whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of things too that you just got to, you know, let go in one ear and out the other. And, you know, I personally have a tough time with Jermichael Finley because, you know, I think his negatives outweigh his positives. But, and here, interesting, from Nate Yonke on our live blog here, Finley is tied for second amongst tight ends in drop passes with 7 this season. So there you go. So, I think you got to take, you know, what he says and let it go in one ear and out the other, and just ignore Jermichael Finley when he's spouting off about things other than X's and O's, you know, giving his opinions. I don't think they mean a whole lot. I don't think people should take them seriously, his opinions, or, you know, even him seriously, until things change. And, you know, I have no indication that things are going to change. Maybe his play on the field. Perhaps this will be a turning point with Jermichael Finley here against the Lions, and he plays better throughout the rest of the season. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I can't look into a crystal ball and find out how the rest of Jermichael Finley's season's going to be. But I tell you, there are certainly questions about his future with the Packers, as he's owed another contract worth in excess of $8 million next season. Do the Packers really want to pay him $8 million for what he offers them? I'm not sure they do. And again, I not to say they won't, and certainly how he performs the rest of the season can help answer that question. If he tanks it, it only adds to the notion that maybe he's not worth it. But if he does, you know, turn it around, plays well, you know, at least maybe they honor a contract that is only one more season. It is only one more season. So we'll see. We'll see. I see the question here from Bama Cheesehead on the live blog. Why do the Packers seem to have more than their fair share of injuries? I've always heard if not in proper shape leads to injuries. Yeah, you know, that has been brought up several times over the years. I remember it was brought up basically in discussion on social media in 2010. You know, the Packers having a lot of injuries in 2010 during the Super Bowl season. It's happening again this year. Why are the Packers having what seems to be an inordinate amount of injuries? And is it due to anything by the training staff? And, you know, the answer is, I guess I really don't know. I'm not a medical expert, although I understand why people are concerned, because it does seem like a high number of injuries, does it not? You know, in 2010, there was just so many players on injured reserve, and this year as well. You know, is it something the team doctors are not good at, or is it the, you know, the training staff that is not properly getting these players in shape and ready for the rigors of the NFL? I can see that being a question, but, you know, it's going to take somebody talking to trained professionals, a journalist that would have access to medical professionals that could answer this question. John says on the live blog, you can't blame the training staff for torn ACLs. Yeah, I mean, there's that too as well. You know, it's when you tear an ACL, is that really, you know, any fault of the training staff? But maybe you can do it when these guys are just having aggravated hamstring injuries, perhaps. You know, like Clay Matthews, like Greg Jennings, and, you know, other players have had hamstrings as well. John Kuhn. You know, I there was an interesting article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this past weekend about actually the Milwaukee Brewers and how they this past weekend held a medical symposium at Miller Park, in which they had speakers and professionals in the medical field talk to the whole Packer or the whole Brewers. I think they had minor league coaches and trainers there. So, you know, their whole farm system is involved, and they all wanted to be on the same page about how you deal with injuries. And of course, I mean, we're comparing apples and oranges here a lot. They said a lot of the focus, of course, was on pitchers, because that's, you know, obviously a major source of injuries in baseball, or, you know, a big concern in baseball would be to a pitcher's arm, because there's a lot of stress there. But I just thought it was interesting how apparently the Brewers are the only team in at least all of baseball that does something like this, you know, has medical professionals and you know, kind of getting everybody on the same page and just talking about problems and you know, kind of leads to bigger and greater awareness. And, you know, I even asked Lori Nickel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel if the Packers were in attendance there, if they happened just to, you know, be there to listen to thoughts on the medical field. And I don't know if she thought I was joking or whatnot. She just responded with, "I wish," or something like that. But anyway, interesting topic there about, you know, injuries and whatnot, and how they're, you know, affect the team. So the Packers have an upcoming game this Sunday against the New York Giants. I haven't gone to a whole lot of research yet about the Giants, other than what, you know, Nathan Yonke just told us. Obviously, Eli Manning, the quarterback there, a guy who is, you know, getting a reputation as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Of course, they have the defensive line there in New York. That's always been very, has a good reputation as well. So it's going to be a challenge for the Packers offensive line to deal with, and something that, you know, that TJ Lang and Evan Dietrich Smith going to have to be a little better than they were this past week. Bama Cheesehead says on the live blog, I wonder if CM3 will be back, Clay Matthews. So that's what we'll be watching for today. The Packers return to the practice field today, and everybody will be waiting to see, is Clay Matthews available? Is he going to participate today, or what's his status? Is he limited during practice? We'll wait and see. That happens right around the noon hour, I think, when the Packers practice. And I think Mike McCarthy's press conference is at 1 o'clock p.m. streamed at Packers.com. So we'll find out then what Clay Matthews is up to, whether he's back at practice. I have a hunch that he won't be practicing today. Maybe he'll be practicing, you know, later in the week. But again, that's just a hunch. That's just what I think. Nothing official there. But it's past 9 a.m. here, and I want to get to this one last time here. One last trivia question for a copy of It's Just a Game here on the 200th episode of Railbird Central. So the first person to correctly put this answer on the live blog wins a copy. Same rules, same details. And the question is this. C.J. Wilson, Packers defensive lineman C.J. Wilson, is related to a member of the New York Giants. He's cousins with a member of the New York Giants. Who is he cousins with? That's the question, and I'll wait here as the answers come in on the live blog here. And I see incorrect answers already rolling in. Justin Tuck, JPP. Nope, those are incorrect. DJ Protege says Brian Wilson. I'm not sure if that's a... Is there really somebody named Brian Wilson on the Giants? I'm not even aware of him, if there is. But all these. There we go. Ted the Sledge with the correct answer. Keith Rivers. Yes. C.J. Wilson and Keith Rivers of the New York Giants are actually cousins. Cousins. So, so congratulations. Ted, hit me up on Twitter. We'll DM and I'll get your address and get the book out to you. And if anybody is interested in getting your own copy of It's Just a Game, head to my own personal website, briancaravu.com. You can order the book there, read up more about it, et cetera, but, hey, it's Wednesday, folks. This is the last episode of Railbird Central for the week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. We will not be having a episode on Black Friday. Sorry, everyone. I'll still be in a food coma from Thanksgiving. In fact, I probably won't even have reliable computer access that day, as I'll be at my parents' house in northern Wisconsin this weekend. So, but I hope everybody has a fantastic Thanksgiving. And we'll be back here on Monday, of course, for another episode of Railbird Central. Brett Goud of the Green Bay Packers will join us on Monday morning. So look forward to that. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Once again, thank you so much for joining us here for the 200th episode of Railbird Central. I appreciate all of you listeners out there for tuning in. Take care, everyone. Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll see you Monday. I leave you today with some music here from Psy Fidelity Records. Let's see. I leave you today with a song called... I got to check out my music list here. Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.